Live from the rubble of the Sands Hotel and brought to you by JetBlue, home of the even more legroom. JetBlue, happy jetting. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Alicious.
And this is EQ2 Talk. So, Allie, why again don't we have theme music this week?
Well, Del, I was too busy jumping down an emergency slide from a JetBlue flight after grabbing a couple of beers from the beverage cart.
So let me guess, you just rage quit on an airline?
I rage quit.
Fair enough. That flight attendant's not dealing with a full deck, was he?
I'm just glad that's over.
Well, gee, Del, maybe you were on his flight.
Oh, sorry. Del, I think you were the straw that almost broke the camel's back.
Hey, it wasn't my fault. I wanted more peanuts. That's all I have to say.
You made him rage quit.
That I did. I am Epic Times 4 on a flight.
Epic Times 4 passenger, Delmon.
Is that why they make me order two seats when I fly?
Slayer of flight attendants.
Okay, that was funny. 9 minutes we've been trying to record this intro, but that was funny.
It has been 9 minutes.
It has.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Hopefully people won't have to listen to all 9 minutes of you giggling.
No, that would be very unentertaining.
Yes. Maybe later. What have we been up to since our last episode entitled Moo?
Well, me?
Yes, you.
Let's see. What have I been doing? Making a lot of arrows. More editing, I know. I dropped my pencil. Sorry. Okay. All right. What have I been up to? I've been making a lot of arrows, poisons, potions, you know. Trying to keep Allie alive. Doing a little bit of the times to the vigilant.
Ah, but how's that gone for you?
I've just been sort of filling in.
Okay.
In groups when they have a space. I haven't really been trying that hard in there. I'm kind of bored of that zone, actually.
Okay.
The getting to the end doesn't have the excitement that it did for me with Ward of Elements. It's okay. Doing a lot of raiding. We've been working on Roanthir. Well, Palace of Roanthir.
Okay.
Last time we got up to Malice and had some fun with him.
Now, I heard you wouldn't run up the stairs to Malice when somebody suggested it to you.
You heard I wouldn't?
That's correct. Somebody told you to run up the stairs after you killed the barrier.
Oh, right. Yes. After we killed the barrier.
Why wouldn't you go up the stairs?
Because I didn't trust the source.
Oh, okay.
Because the source likes to kill rangers. So I assumed that it was for fun that he was telling me to do that.
And it turns out the source was telling you the truth. That's where the next mob is. Okay.
Yes, but I didn't lose anything.
Yeah, so, you know, Templars whose names start with the letter D on the unrest server, they're not all bad.
No. But they're not to be trusted.
Fair enough.
And I've been doing, you and I both participated in a little guide event over in Butcher Block.
Absolutely. Have to give a shout out to Senior Guide Squeech of the Mouse.
That was a lot of fun.
And he hooked us up.
Well, I got a title that you obviously already had.
Of course. I'm cool.
From the Axe Any Shall Receive, I think that was the name of the guide quest.
Yes. Yep.
Over there where you... Well, I don't want to ruin it for anybody who's, you know, hasn't done it yet, but if you keep your eyes peeled on usually level chat 1 through 9, that will sometimes give you a little clue when something's about to start. Or you can look on the SOE forums for guide events going on your server and sort of keep your eyes open for when you might be playing and sort of try to be in the right place at the right time. That's how we sort of ran into this. Now, I had done that guide quest before, but doing a little bit of role playing, which is not my normal thing, got me a title.
Now, let's be honest, you role played with Del. Aw, yeah.
That I did.
And it was good for him, too. Aw, yeah.
Anyway.
But we did get some green shinies, and I have to say, as a super fan of the shinies, that was awesome.
It was most awesome, and it was a lot of fun. I, you know, make fun of role players, but not role playing, and I'm sure this is noob role playing, what we were doing.
Yeah, I would call it role play light.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
We were more goofing on each other than anything else. The ranger versus the non-healing Templar, that sort of stuff. So I think it was, like you say, a lot of fun. And Squeech of the Guide, awesome. Did a great job and hooked us up with some green shinies and hope to see more guide events. We can try to get those green shiny collections completed.
Yeah. Good fun. So that's what I've been doing.
Okay.
And you have been out of town.
I was out of town. I left on an airplane. And I came back on an airplane 2 hours later, or 2 hours late. Rather, not 2 hours later. That's about my other trip to Dallas. That's where I came back a few hours later. But, yeah, I had a chance to go out to Fanfare out there in the dry but warm heat of Nevada. And I had a great time, wonderful time at Fanfare. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, I think. But that really kept me busy there for almost a week. You know, between the whole travel days and then you come back and the whole JetBlue lag and all that sort of stuff.
Well, you know, travel wouldn't take a whole day if you did a direct flight.
Yes, but those cost more.
I know, but not everything in life, Del, is free to play.
Ooh, I like how you slid that in.
But we did have a couple of listener emails.
Okay.
We had a nice little email from Issa from the Antonio Bale server. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I think it's a she. I'm guessing.
It ends in a vowel, so we'll make it female.
It ends actually in a consonant.
All right, then I misheard. So I'll...
Well, it's I-S-A-H. So I'm pronouncing that Issa.
Okay.
It'd be Issa. Who knows? Okay, let's drag this out a little longer. All right. Hello, Allie and Delmon. This is Issa from the Antonio Bale server. I recently returned to EQ2 after a year or two of being away from the game. I was not a day one player, but did start in the first month of release. I kind of consider that a day one player, but that's fine. I have to say, even though I have a level 52 and level 41 characters, I still feel like a noob to the game and learn something new every day. I was a bit overwhelmed and even had moments of frustration when I first got back in the game last week. But slowly, I'm getting my feet back in the world of Norath and loving it. And your podcast has proven to be a big help in the process. There have been 3 expansions since I left, and I'm sure many updates. And sometimes a person stepping in this big world, especially someone who's already at my level, feels lost. A lot has changed since I left. I would imagine being a brand new player, tutorials and newbie quests help to get the player started and on their way. But when you're already in the middle of the content and come back after so long, it was like learning the game all over again. Anyway, just wanted to let you know your show plays a big part of my EQ2 experience and look forward to more from you too. I love hearing about the new stuff that the game is coming out with, but don't forget the old stuff in your shows. Someone like me appreciates it and can learn from it. According to your podcast, you have 5 listeners, so I guess I make 6. Keep up the great work, Issa.
It was a very nice email.
Yes.
And I think Issa gives us some good feedback that sometimes when we're doing the podcast, we like to talk about what's new and shiny and what's on the horizon. But there are a lot of players who are still not at endgame and are doing content, you know, from some of the earlier expansions. So we should keep that in mind as we're talking about things, that we should go back and talk about old zones and things like that.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So that was our first listener email. Very nice. Thank you for the feedback. And keep on listening.
Maybe we'll reach 7.
We can hope. And a second email.
Okay.
From Emily Taylor.
That name sounds familiar.
SOE.
Okay.
Also known as Domino.
Ah, okay.
Hi, Allie. I've been enjoying your podcast so far, though definitely looking forward to it being up on iTunes so I remember to listen fairly regularly. I thought I'd drop you a note with an answer to a question you had in, I think, the second podcast about why you made someone a tinkered item and it didn't use up any rares for them, but it did for you. Almost certainly what happened is you got and countered a flawless tinkering event. This is one of the rare events that can pop up while crafting, although not the rarest. It's still very uncommon, and it's unusually lucky for you to have gotten it while making an item that required multiple rares. Here's more information in a player guide, and she gives me the link for Zam, which, if we are smart enough, can put some show notes up with the link.
We can try that.
Okay. Originally, tinkering and adorning did not have the possibility of getting these events. In fact, they had no events to counter at all. But I fixed that a while back, and now all regular recipes, including tinkering and adorning, have events and have a chance to get these events. Hope that explains what happened. In addition, good job keeping Delmon on his toes. Keep it up and give him lots of grief for promising last podcast that he'd be in his teeny speedos after the fanfare pool party. He totally wasn't. Keep up the good work. Enjoying the podcast. Signed, Emily Taylor.
What Domino doesn't know is I was in my Speedo at the fanfare pool party. It was under my other bathing suit.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Every smart gamer knows to wear two bathing suits.
Ah.
Lest you get pantsed.
I see. In case a strip poker game breaks out.
I don't know what type of fanfare you're going to, Allie. Because first of all, it's strip LON. Okay.
No, Free Realms. Come on.
That's a kid's game. You don't play strip Free Realms. What type of perv are you?
There are no LON real cards.
En contraire, mon frère. If you attended last year's fanfare, didn't you get like 4 or 5 freebie cards?
No, I didn't.
Oh, why not?
Because they weren't in my bag.
Oh, that's right, because somebody missed their flight, showed up late, and didn't get sweat.
Right.
That's right.
Because
okay.
Somebody was busy cleaning the bathtub, and we ended up being late for our flight. That's somebody not being me.
Wait a minute. Before you go on vacation, you clean your tub?
It's a long story, Del. We don't want to drudge up old memories.
Although I am enjoying this switching the conversation from Del in a Speedo, the Del Speedo, to something else.
Boy, that's a frightening, frightening thought.
Well, I can say no more.
Okay. Probably wise. So that was a little tidbit from fanfare. And thank you, Domino, by the way, for answering that little problem we had, or curiosity, I guess it was, about what was going on with those rares. And it's nice to know that something isn't broken, that it's working as intended, and something happy happened to me.
Yay.
That sounded terrible. Okay.
All right. So do a couple of comments about fanfare now that we have brought it up.
Yeah.
I had a chance to go. Unfortunately, Allie, you couldn't make it out there this year. Hopefully next year at Fanfare 2011. I had a great time. It was great to see all the players and staffers, including Domino as well, who was, I'm sorry I let you down. Do I have to say, though, this year, I don't know what it was, but Fanfare had this different vibe to it, different feeling. I don't know what it was. I can't say if it was good or bad. It was just different from Fanfare's past. And I've tried to think about it and tried to put my finger on what it might have been, but I don't. I don't know. It just seemed different. Maybe it's all the stuff that's going on in the world of EverQuest 2 kind of had a little different feel. Maybe it was that lousy room that all of our sessions were in. I don't know. It was a different feel. It was different.
When you say different, in what way was it different?
I don't know. I don't know how to put my finger on it. I mean, certainly there were a lot of people there. There were a lot of team members who were there. The swag was fantastic. The convention area, the platinum. Maybe it was the platinum pass thing because it was a little kind of confusing. The lounge wasn't really all that loungy. I don't know. They just seemed to be, it was different. A different feel. Maybe it was because you weren't there, Allie.
Oh, that must be it.
Maybe it was the lack of Free Realms trading card tournaments. I don't know. It just felt different.
Okay.
Maybe too during some of the EQ2 panels. I don't know this year. Maybe other folks who were in the room will say, no, Del, you just didn't hear it the same way I did. But it seemed this year that there were so many questions, again, from players and whatnot, that, how to put this, that the team just said, that's something we can look into when we get back to the office. And that seemed to be the answer to, I would say, 99.9% of the questions. Very rarely this year did it seem that any of the questions kind of, they said, gee, we're not aware of that. We'll look into that. It kind of seemed to be, there was just a lot of that put off answer of, we'll look into that, or, you know, we'll discuss that when we get back. But none of them really seemed to say, wow, that's a good idea. And that's something we can implement, or we will. I didn't walk away with a, they're going to do that feeling with almost any of the questions. There were only, I think, two things that kind of, that I seemed to catch them off surprise. One was when somebody commented about chat having problems where people aren't getting put into the chat sessions, the voice chat sessions. And the other one was the junk on the broker. Other than that, all the other questions just seemed to be, yeah, we'll look into that. Yeah, we'll look into that. But it was kind of like that parental answer. No, yeah, don't worry about it. We're not going to really do that.
Well, when those two questions came up, for the benefit of those who were not there, what were the responses?
The one about the voice chat was, really? What do you mean you're having problems with voice chat? It was almost as if it was unbeknownst to them, which seemed to catch them by surprise. So, it seemed to be something that they would, just their like posture about the answer, they seemed to be interested in, gee, we are going to look into that. And the other one about the vendor stuff was a person had commented that there's a lot of junk on the broker. And Rothgar seemed to say, well, gee, why is there junk on the broker? And by junk, I'm talking like about bird beaks and canine saliva, things that have no value in the game other than vendor trash. People put them on the broker. And he seemed to say, gee, I'm going to look into that. Maybe because it was a performance issue on the servers or whatnot. So those, to me, it just seemed to be, those about were the only two things of response that they were going to really do something about, really investigate. I mean, sometimes when they were asked questions, they weren't even writing them down, it seemed, and I was kind of watching their reaction to the question. The answer was just, yeah, that's something we can talk about, but we have no plans for that, or that's something we can look into. And they weren't even writing them down. It was almost as if, yeah, that thought's going to be out of their head in 5 minutes after they get to the next question. So maybe that was leading to this vibe of these Q&As, they're just questions that, you know, have no A's. They're just, yeah, okay, we'll look into that type response. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like previous fanfares there was more interaction with the attendees?
In terms of, yeah, well, not in terms of one-on-one hanging out or people or dev.
No, I meant in the sessions.
In the sessions, yeah. Yeah, it really seemed like last time we got answers to questions or they were ready to demo a lot more. I remember last year they were talking about, like, the achievements and the new quest journal and all the things that were changing. This year just seemed to be when they did put slides up, and by the way, that room, worst room ever for viewing slides, PowerPoint slides, they would spend the first 10 or 15 minutes recapping what has already occurred in the past year, not what they kind of plan to do forward. There seemed to be very little information about what's coming next.
In your mind, do you feel like it was more of a presentation rather than a panel discussion?
I would say it was a presentation of what we already knew, not a presentation of what's yet to come. What was yet to come was very limited. And many of those panels became Q&As where there just seemed to be a lot of Q's and very little A's.
Mm-hmm.
Other than, we'll look into that. That was my feeling. Although, I have to say, the highlight of all the sessions this year was the absolute throwdown during the housing session, where one guy was challenging another guy to a house decorating off. It was epic. It was almost epic. I was like, I cannot believe. They're going to settle this in act of house items placed per second. It was the most bizarre thing. And he was pimping his house. It was almost hysterical. I almost wet my pants laughing because these guys were going to show their e-peens in house decorating.
That sounds like it would have been worth the trip alone.
It almost ranked up there next to the question of I want to buy dresses for the ladies from the previous year, if you remember that question.
Yes, yes.
So that was what that was this year's I Want to Buy Dresses for the Ladies discussion. The Epine fight over whose house was decorated cooler.
That's pretty funny.
That's what I guess what I mean when it just had a different feel. It was a different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with a lot of the changes maybe that we're seeing with, you know, the free-to-play, EQ Next was talked about, they seem to be talking about things in the future, but not talking concretely about them. Everything was very vaporous, if that's a word, about what's going on. And there was very little concrete. Maybe that's what maybe gave it that different feel, was lack of concreteness about and answers to specific answers to the questions.
We are getting into how many years has EQ2 been going? I mean, we're talking about 6 years now.
Yeah, 6 years. But there is still a lot still going on in the game. And it just, I guess I was looking for more meat on the bone this time. And it seemed to be very light.
And did you only go to EQ2 sessions? Were there other sessions that you went to that were not EQ2 focused?
Yeah, I went to the podcast panel session and I went to the guides session and there was one more on the community team as well. And I thought, again, those were all very good. Those were great. It was maybe the EQ2 ones when I say that there wasn't a lot of meat on the bones. The other ones, I thought the guide one was fantastic. One, because it wasn't SOE people up on the panel. It was actual players running the session about the guide program. And I learned a little bit about their mechanics and what it takes to be a guide and what goes on behind the scenes in the guide program. So I thought that was really interesting. And again, because it was players doing a panel as opposed to SOE people doing a panel. Mm-hmm. You know, my peers were up there holding a session, and it was a really good session because it was player-to-player interaction as opposed mm-hmm. to design team-to-player interaction.
I just wonder if EQ2 is... Maybe things aren't solidified. Maybe there isn't anything concrete to present. Maybe the time to launch for various game parts is shorter now than it used to be. And maybe they don't have anything to concretely give an answer to. And, you know, once you say something, I think there are so many people looking and listening and blogging and recording and telling their friends, you have to be married to that idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're so right. This to take the concrete analogy a little further, when something is said like at Fanfare, it immediately becomes set in stone.
Right.
And the team better
you
not deviate from what they
you
say. Exactly.
Never X, Y, or Z. And here we are today. And here are clips of every single time you said X, Y, or Z. You know what I mean? I mean, there are people all over quoting Smedley years ago. And here is the date of, and here's what he said. And here's the next one. And here's the next one. And it's just, you know, it just lives forever.
Right. And I think, too, maybe like you suggest, that where they are in their current development cycle today and when Fanfare fell on the calendar didn't match up to what they had a year ago, where they had a game update that was coming and they could display a little bit more of it. I think, you know, it would have been nice maybe if Hrothgar had done some live examples of some of the new UI changes that we're going to see in Game Update 57 and so more interaction, more things on the screen as opposed to, okay, what questions do you have for us that we're not going to be able to go in depth to?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, maybe that was it. Maybe we saw a little bit more of what was to come last Fanfare, and this Fanfare was a little bit more of what we've already seen, and therefore it's a little second nature, or not second nature, but secondhand information. We've already been doing this for a while. We know what the lore over the past year is, or the signature quests, or that sort of stuff.
For me, the best part of Fanfare was not... Well, I shouldn't say the best part. The best part of Fanfare was, and I've only been twice, but it was meeting other players and hanging out with people with the same interests and being able to have one-on-one with the devs. Not that I, you know, sat down with anybody and pick their brain, but just being able to stand near somebody when they were having a conversation and overhear this conversation and sort of get close to what's going on, even if you don't hear about anything that's newsworthy or is definitely going to happen, you get a sense of the process behind the game that you play all the time. And you also get a sense of these are people. These are regular people who go to a job, and sort of putting things in perspective a little bit.
They're not the faceless red name that we see so often on the forums, and that's our right. only interaction with them. Yes, you're right. The best part of fanfare is hanging out with people, the pool party, the karaoke party, over lunch, going to lunch with folks. And not only talking game stuff, but also real life stuff, you know, about house repair, lawn care, all the things that go on. Mm-hmm. And that, I guess I take that for granted. I think I take that for granted every year because we always get to do that. I always see people I know, or especially people who I see regularly, or I see their tune regularly every night in game. And I talk with them as much as I talk with my real life family, but I only see them maybe once a year at an event like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I take that for granted because those are so much fun. They're always fun like that. Just mm-hmm. that hanging out. It's like going out with your friends that you don't get to hang out with all the time, going to dinner and a movie or something like that. We get to do that in the context of fanfare. So what that's always the best part too.
What about the other parts of fanfare, like other than the sessions, like the... Did they have any tournaments going on? Did you participate? Did you look? Did you watch?
I did see the tournaments. I did not participate, only because I think the tournaments take away from all that other interaction time. We talked about this, I think, during our last show. I like to stay loosey-goosey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to commit to anything, and committing to the tournament would be X amount of hours blocked out, and I wouldn't be able to bump. So many times I just bump into people, quite literally. Because I'm not watching where I'm going. And I oh, hey, you're so-and-so, hey. Or they come up to me, hey, Dell, I recognize you from the podcast. And we just start chatting. Oh, what server are you on? What class? And that, and you just start, you know, you spend, before you realize it, you've missed out on lunch. And the sessions are starting or the next thing is happening that you want to go to. That's the best part to me of fanfare, that interaction and meeting those people kind of in an ad hoc fashion. So I don't participate in the tournaments because... Well, I could do that at home. I can game at home. I can't bump in and hang out with people. So I do that at fanfare as opposed to go to the tournaments. I did take a few pictures of it up on the screen. I guess there were some snafus or something with the live tournament. But somebody won, and they did give prizes at the final banquet to them. I didn't catch their names. The final banquet was running late, as it always does, unfortunately. So they were trying to give out the Vanguard EQ, EQ2, and all the best of best in the live quest. Rewards kind of there at the end as quickly as they could.
I thought that watching the tournaments was kind of fun sometimes. I don't know that I would ever participate in any of them. One year, we tried in Atlanta in 06 to participate in, well, I don't even remember what it was. But there were some technical difficulties with the hotel, the bandwidth.
Okay.
Apparently they couldn't support
all these mad gamers at once.
Yeah, so they had some difficulties, and we ended up getting the reward.
Oh, very good.
We had won because we did sign up.
Oh, very cool.
Some other groups, but I think that was small enough where they could do that.
One thing two things that I thought were kind of really cool about this fanfare that necessarily haven't seen in the past. One was with the swag. Usually I get all this swag, and I'm like, what am I going to do with all this stuff? It's more, air quotes, junk that I'm going to have to dust or clean in my house or whatnot. But one of them was he's a little knight, and he's made out of the same squishy ball, stress ball material. And he's standing there, he's got his little shield, and it says EverQuest 2 across it. And it's very nice. It's something I immediately took to the office on Monday, and I put on my desk front and center. I don't have a lot of toys or cool things in my cube at work. So this sticks out, and I think that's great free advertising for Sony, and it's something I can kind of proudly put on my desk, show off my nerdiness a little bit, but without being too flashy. And he sits, he's perfect. He sits right on top of the CPU next to the monitor, so I can always see him. And when I'm sitting there all week thinking about it, I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to get home to play EQ2. So that was cool. And the second thing I saw there was they had at the station store where we could buy things, they had EverQuest 2 Polos, which is something I've been saying we really need for a long time, something that folks can wear on a casual Friday to the office. You know, it's a solid color. It just has the logo in the on the top breast area there. So it looks nice. It's not flashy. It's not gaudy. And it's something you can wear, you know, out to Applebee's for dinner or to work on casual Friday or something like that. Unfortunately, they didn't have any in my size, H for huge. So I have to wait for the store to restock. I guess Omar the Tent Maker will be getting back to making a few of the huskier sizes. So I'll be ordering those. But I think, again, something really nice that folks can wear in a semi-formal setting, I guess.
They didn't have any girl polos, did they?
They were not in pink, no.
No, not pink, though.
Oh. What would be a girl polo?
Non-square. The cut is a little different. Where you don't look like a girl wearing a boy's shirt.
Okay, Allie, if you haven't figured it out by now, Dell knows nothing about fashion, let alone women's fashions. I'm totally out of my element.
Okay, just a clue. Pink doesn't make it a girl shirt.
Well, it certainly doesn't make it a manly shirt.
I've seen men wear pink. No mooing.
Oh, that wasn't a moo. That was a... That was the sound effect of my eyebrow going up. To be honest, I don't know. I don't think there were.
Just because you have a socially imposed aversion to pink doesn't make it wrong.
Certainly doesn't make it right.
Well, anyway, a girl polo has a different cut, slightly different buttons. It depends. There are some different cuts. But anyway, suffice it to say it's a different cut.
I don't think there were any, but then again, I have to be honest, I wasn't really looking for that, so I don't know. But my guess tells me no.
Okay, that's unfortunate.
But don't quote me.
Of course not.
All right.
I don't trust you, remember?
That is true.
Okay, so what other things were at Fanfare? Did they have a live quest? I know you didn't participate in it.
They did have a live quest. I had intended to participate in it. But again, like I said, I got distracted by talking to some folks. And I think that day, literally, I completely missed out on lunch and the live quest and everything that was going on between the morning sessions and the afternoon sessions. Just hanging out, talking with people in that bazaar area where they were selling all the stuff, and the Gunner bus was there as well. Totally missed out on it. I had wanted to, but just didn't get to it.
Gutter bus?
Not gutter. Gunner.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
They were playing.
I was thinking. You said gutter bus.
I did not say gutter bus. I said gunner bus.
Okay, sorry.
They were playing Guitar Band Hero or something.
Oh, boy. All right. How about...
Yes.
You didn't see anything else.
There were
so many things going on, you didn't see any of it.
A lot of great costumes. If anything, can I comment on the costume contest?
Sure.
Best ever. Billy stole the show. The place went bonkers when Billy came in the room. There was an actual person who I think I heard later, but again, don't quote me. It was a girl in the costume. I think so. I'll say she came in the room in this life-size burlap Billy doll costume. The place, Allie, the place went bonkers when she was walking. She couldn't really walk. She kind of hobbled just like Billy does in the game because I think the suit was so heavy and had all the dance moves down that Billy does in game. The place went bonkers.
Oh,
I think
awesome.
Won both Best in Show and the People's Choice Award.
That's awesome.
But again, the costumes again this year, fantastic. There was a dryad up there. There was a little baby Fae up there. People do some amazing work. The panda, there was somebody dressed as one of the panda people. Again, fantastic costumes. People outdo themselves. Saw even a Frostfell backpack, if you can believe that.
No.
Somebody was walking around with a Frostfell backpack on.
They have jiggly parts?
I was looking at the backpack, but I'm assuming there were jiggly parts.
Awesome.
Yeah, I had the all the things that you see on the Frostfell backpack, like right out of game. Fantastic job. People do an outstanding job with all that costuming, and I give them oodles and oodles of credit for it. And Brass had a fantastic costume as well, too. She did another Blue Dwarf outfit this year.
Ooh, I wish I had seen that. Maybe I'll be able to find some pictures somewhere.
Allie, I have to say, I have my camera. It's full of photos still sitting in the suitcase. I haven't even taken them out and downloaded them yet.
Not surprising. My Free Realms cards are still in the bag from last year's fanfare.
Speaking of Free Realms cards, Allie, can I tell you, I tried to get you some this year.
You did?
I did. I went out front of Bally's as the sun was setting, and there were folks handing out cards, and I went over to get some. Turns out, though, they weren't giving out Free Realms cards.
Those are probably not Free Realms cards.
No, they weren't. But I will tell you, Tabitha, plus five to Schwing, okay? Schwing! And with that, should we give one last shout-out? I want to give a shout-out to all the SOEers, all the staff members, devs, community, marketing, all the people behind the scenes that we don't get to see, the technical support, all that, the people who load the truck to bring all this stuff to Las Vegas from San Diego. They get two Del on thumbs up from everybody. I think they do a fantastic job. Once again, as much as fanfare, as I said, was a different vibe, it is still a great weekend. This is one of my few go-away vacations, and I enjoy going away to it every year. I had a fantastic time. Wonderful time. So I think all those people deserve a way to go, you know, from all of us players and all the attendees, because it really is a fun time and a great weekend. All right, should we talk about some of the other things that we have?
Sure.
Okay. A lot of big changes coming, right?
Yep.
So what are some of the big changes that we're seeing soon?
Well, there's EQ2 Extended. You keep calling it Expanded, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Extended.
All right. EQ2X. I'll stay EQ2X to protect myself.
That's probably wise.
Okay. They did have a panel at it on Fanfare, but I didn't go to it. Shame on me. I was at another panel, I think. There were so many panels that I wanted to attend that conflicted with each other. I think you had mentioned this during last episode as well. I think I chose one of the other ones because EQ2X is what it is. And I know a lot of people are excited about it. That's a good way to put it.
Who's excited about it?
Well, it depends on your definition of excited. Are you excited positively or negatively?
Well,
people are excited.
That you mean positively.
I think the assumption is positively. I'm going to just leave it as excited.
Okay.
Let people draw their own conclusions, perhaps.
Okay. Where do you fall on this spectrum?
My take is it is what it is. It's coming. They have spelled out the rules for it. I don't foresee them making radical changes to this product based on player feedback at this point. It is what it is. It's coming whether you like it or not. And for me, I can say for me, it is not my choice of playstyle. Much like PvP isn't my choice of playstyle or hardcore roleplay isn't my choice of playstyle, this isn't for me either. But that's okay. Because I can still play on my server Unrest and continue to pay my $15 a month like I always have. I thought Smoke Jumper was very, very deliberate in his choice of words. We are not changing the current subscription model. Your play will still stay the same. If you want, you can choose this other option as well. So as long as, and I say that with emphasis, as long as they stay true to that statement, I think I'm okay with it. It's not in my backyard. It's in somebody else's backyard.
It kind of is in your backyard.
Well, it's in the backyard next to mine.
No, it's actually in your backyard. All of the test notes from Update 57, I believe, all of those changes are essentially laying the groundwork for EQ2X.
Yeah.
When I say all, I don't mean all. I mean most.
Most. The proverbial all.
Making all these classes neutral.
Yes.
So that presumably the ones that are free to play, I haven't gone into the detail of what's available on the free to play model, what's available. I know it's extremely limited to the point where you probably wouldn't be able to get very far doing it for free. But just the feel of the update notes for 57 to me seemed to be simply laying the groundwork for smoothing out the differences or smoothing the road, paving the road for making the free-to-play servers work, or server, I guess we should say, since there's only one, right?
That we're aware of. Let me just pick up on something you said there. And maybe it's something we should put a better definition on. Like you said, free-to-play, this really isn't free-to-play per se. Yes, you can play for free, but it is a extremely limited amount of play.
Almost, from our perspective, because yeah. We play the whole game.
Exactly. So I guess, that's a good way to look at
it. It's
like,
more than zero. I mean, you are playing something for free. There is some... you can get into the world of Norrath for free. It's limited, yes, but when's the last time you got something for free? Did you ever get a meal for free in Vegas? Did you get a sample maybe at the Sam's Club? A little bite on a toothpick of something?
A taste to make me want, an enticement to make me want to buy more?
Right.
Absolutely.
And did that satisfy your hunger? Did that give you the meal for the day?
No, it certainly did not. You are correct.
I do not think this is intended to give anybody a free lunch. It's giving them a morsel on a toothpick.
A teaser.
Yeah.
You could make that your lunch if you wanted. Very few of us could or would be satisfied with that. So, yes, it's enough to entice you to want to buy more. However, and I don't think we want to go into all the specifics of what is free, gold, silver.
There's plenty of information out there.
Exactly. And certainly if we tried to do it, we'd probably make a mistake in it anyways. But when I looked at it in general, I said, gee, by the time I got to the point where I think I'm playing, and I put that in air quotes, where I'm really playing and there's enough for me to do and have fun at, I'm basically at the $15 amount subscription anyways.
Right.
So am I really getting anything for free? Not really, other than it gives me the option to spend RMT and get things that I don't have for money.
Are you complaining?
No, I'm certainly not. I'm just explaining what it is.
Okay.
So for me... I'd end up buying that tier that's almost equivalent to what I'm paying already. The only advantage would be it would let me buy this shiny, cool sword for $5 if I also wanted that. And where I am today, I can't do that.
Okay.
So for me, that's why I'm staying where I'm staying. I'm not going to move to this service. For the other reason also that I look down on those types of players. I'll be honest, yes. I believe in the E.F. Hutton way of doing things? The old-fashioned way you earn it? Uphill both ways. I have my gear because I earned it. I didn't pay for it. I earned it in-game with my blood, sweat, and tears. So, therefore, to me, that is the accomplishment? Yes. Would I look at somebody else who said, hey, I also got my mythical, and it cost me $19.99. Well, okay, that's fine. But that's not for me.
I don't think that's what's going to happen.
No, I'm not. I'm making
it. But it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter because they're not going to be on the live servers.
Exactly.
And I think it's ridiculous at this point to say I looked on that sort of player because you don't even know what that sort of player is. That sort of player doesn't even exist right now. Those are people who do not play EQ2 for the most part. And I believe they said this on a number of occasions. What they're going after is the player who doesn't play EQ2. The player who, this demographic maybe, that isn't currently attached to an MMO. People who never have even dipped their foot in to Norrath.
So you think that EQ2X is really that piece of cheese on a toothpick. That you're going to see it, a person who's not tempted to buy it is going to take a bite of it and say, gee, that's not so bad. Maybe I should invest in this.
Well, I don't know if that's really the perfect analogy.
Okay.
I think it's a number of things. And I do think that people who – I've heard people complain, and I myself was one of them. When I first heard this EQ2 extended thing, my first thought was, that's not going to help the population on the live servers. My answer to that, I think that I have answered for myself, is that was never the intention.
I agree with that. I agree with that because I think, and you correct me if you think differently, that they're going to entice people to start out playing for free. Then they're going to maybe upgrade to a more expensive package that they're going to have to spend money on. And then they're going to spend a lot more in RMT. They're going to buy that shiny toy.
Yeah, if they want to get what we have, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, essentially, if they want to get what we have on the other server, they have to pay basically what we pay, and they may even have to pay more. They won't know the difference. I mean, once you're in a game, I don't think people do, I don't know. I don't think people are going to, I think it's going to catch people who are the quick players, the people who fly from one game to the next and just try different things. And maybe along the way, they will spend $5 here, $5 there, $10 here, $2 there. And all of that adds up. And that's money in SOE's pocket.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Why not? Well, I'm not saying this is the way I feel, but from a pragmatic perspective, why not do that? Do those little impulse buy things when you already have the world that exists there and you're already giving them a lot for free. A lot of it is already done. I mean, it's done. The world has been created. The art is in the game. The quest lines are in the game. I don't know what all they can do for free. It just seems like one perspective might be, why not?
Absolutely, I agree. Why not? I think this is a chance for SOE to make more money. I think they're banking on, or they're hoping on, there are going to be people, like you say, spend $5 here, spend $3 here, spend $2 on this cool-looking hat, spend $10 on an upgrade to a master of something. Why not? And they can keep funneling all that stuff into this EQ2X because they have the base game, and they can – all those marketplace items that we see, well, they can even make more of those. And it can be – today it's only the fluff items really that we see in there, the house items and the decorations, and I guess depending on what your definition of fluff is. But now they can throw in the sword or the master or the quest update to kill the big dragon at the end and get quest credit for the reward or something like that. They can throw that in as a transaction as well, and people will buy it, and it'll put more money in their pockets. I don't see them not doing that. I think they're going to do that. I mean, they've already talked about healing potions or cure potions and stuff like that. Why not the item, the cloak, the hat, the gloves, the legs, the chest piece, the whole armor crate? You know, buy your Sentinel's Fade armor crate for $50. That gets you these following items and pieces with stats and bonuses and all that sort of stuff. Or, you know, $3 for an adornment, for a red adornment or something like that. I could see them doing that quite easily. And you know what? I think they should. That's what that server is for. Now, again, as long as it stays over there and they don't bring that sort of technology or thought process to the classic servers, I'm okay with that. Much like PvP, you can do that all you want as long as you do it over there, the not in my backyard. You can be next to me, but not in my backyard. You talked earlier, I think, Ellie, but they are making changes to our game, the classic game, to support that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that fire me up? Absolutely. But I think maybe I'm becoming older and wiser and less fired up about it, but they've been doing that for a long time. The thought of the game is changing, well, everything is changing, and maybe I'm less reactive to these changes than I used to be. Maybe I'm just used to them at this point. I'm so accustomed to them at this point, they don't seem to cause me all this angst anymore. You know, they're making a whole bunch of classes more neutral. More neutral. I guess you can't be any more neutral than neutral, right?
Right.
By definition, it is neutral. And is that setting up for free-to-play? Probably. But you know what? They've been taking quests out of game for a long time. They've gotten rid of placeholders and camping. They've done all these other things in the name of improving the game. Now you're going to have a ranger strolling the streets of Freeport, or an assassin walking around in Kelothan. Okay, that's what they're doing. Our Templars, which is my class, can be in both cities. They're no longer only good, or in good versus evil cities. Okay, it is what it is. They're going to do it. I no matter what, they're going to do it. So if I want to enjoy the game and keep playing it, I guess I got to become more tolerant of these things.
I think also people are getting upset, and not so much, well, I wonder how much people are getting upset at SOE for making these changes to our game, or if it's just at the way the industry is in general.
I think it's a little of both. We're both old school players. We've been around practically since day one. And I think if you look at the game since day one, it is very, very different. There is very few things or game mechanics that were implemented on day one that are still around.
Right. It's almost a completely different game, and it's almost been many games in between.
Exactly. So is this just another evolution of it?
Probably.
I guess so. And will I eventually look back and go, gee, the romantic times of when Templars and Inquisitors were opposites of each other? Oh, those were so romantic, but now they're not anymore. I mean, look at trade skilling, and I think that's a perfect example. Trade skilling is not even remotely close to what it was day one.
Right.
Other than we have recipes and we have things we make with them, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole concept of it and where it fits in the game and even how it's done is completely different. This is just another evolution, another change in the game, and I'm still having fun with it, so I'm still tolerant of it, I guess.
Well, and I think that the world has changed around us when we weren't paying attention. And I really believe that they're trying to keep this game alive. I see EQ2X as preventive surgery.
Interesting.
Isn't that a very depressing thought? I don't mean to get depressing, but I'm glad I don't play Vanguard. I would be...
If I played Vanguard, I'd be very worried that I'm waiting for the email that says my game's being turned off.
Right.
Yeah, I'd be the next Matrix, really.
I think this is preventive surgery for keeping the game alive. I think that this might be the testing ground for this model for perhaps other games.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. They have a product that they can bolt some new stuff onto to see how to bolt it onto other games that they're making.
And I don't know. Part of me says I really don't have any business having an opinion on this because I don't know the economics. I don't know the requirements of making a game or surviving in the MMO market. I don't have knowledge. So all I can do is speak from a player's point of view. From a player's point of view, I wish that efforts were being made to make my experience more robust, smoother, better for the players, more enhanced, more populated. But that's all I can say.
Well, I think an example of what you're kind of talking about is some of the changes that we're going to see to the new UI with Game Update 57. Like it or not, there's going to be a station cache button on there. Okay, management has said this is what it is. Okay, fine. And they're making all these changes, though, to, I think, make it easier for the day one player, which is okay, but they're not doing anything in this effort necessarily to improve it for the veteran player, like a click to cure or an auto attack feature. Those things that are things that veteran players would very much like to see in the UI changes, but are not included there because the changes to the UI are being driven to make it easier, better, simpler for the day one player. So I think the comment that could be made is, don't only think of the day one player, the new players. Don't forget, you have a lot of veterans, and throw them a bone at times too. Give them something new and shiny at the same time too. Like the click to cure, which as a healer I am very interested in.
Well, I think that your reality sets in. You have to at some point view this from the realistic point of view, which is, so like at my job, if I were to say to my boss, let's spend this amount of money, my time for this amount of time on this thing that is a benefit but no extra revenue. It's a benefit to our existing customer base. It's right. Basically a freebie.
Right, but don't you have to take into consideration all your customers, not only the new ones or the ones you hope to gain, but your veteran, your loyal customers.
To keep them.
To keep them, yes.
Retention. Retention versus...
attrition. No, that's the wrong word.
Retention versus new customers.
Yes.
Expanding the customer base. I have an opinion, but I sort of feel like it's just my personal opinion that's very selfish, which is I want my stuff to be improved upon. I want my game experience to be perfected and tweaked and worked on at the same time as these other things that require money or time or whatever expense on SOE's part.
Absolutely, and I think for SOE, that's the balancing game.
Because I'm important.
Right. I just fear, or I guess I'm seeing, now I don't know if it's true or not, what I'm seeing is that seesaw, that teeter-totter, is tilted more to new right now as opposed to veteran. And I hope they don't forget the veterans. They need to bring that teeter-totter back into balance at some point. Help retain those long-term loyal customers. Give us not only things for new players, but also veterans as well.
I think we do have to keep in mind, though, that if we had to make a choice between EQ2X, you know, having EQ2X and still being able to play EQ2 live, I guess we're calling it, that scenario or scenario B, where there's no EQ2X and eventually EQ2 just simply dies.
Well, then, absolutely.
Which it will die eventually, but maybe it's further in the future if we can extend it a little further with EQ2X.
I guess maybe I'm not seeing right now the end of the tunnel for EQ2. I think this game, I look at EQ1 and look at the length of run that game has had.
That's a totally different game.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I think in the same model, EQ2 has the longevity that EQ21 has. It's always going to have its very loyal fan base. Now, will production of it at some point down the future slow down as EQ Next and EQ Next Next and whatever is else out there, DCOU and Free Realms 2 and God only knows what else, right? Clone Wars and all that. As those become more prominent, yes, production on EQ2 would slow down, but I don't see that anywhere in the short term. They still have a viable product. They still have a staff that's working on it, resources that are dedicated to it. So I don't think that this is necessarily preventive surgery. I think it's proactive health, you know, to boost up the entire brand. And this is the first place we're going to see it. You know, I think, you know, they saw a little bit of it with Free Realms. I think they liked it, and now they're going to put it on. Is EQ2 their flagship? I think so. They're going to stick it on their flagship product as well. And I think maybe in other products that are in the stream might eventually see it as well. that this will become the new way of launching an MMO. You'll have maybe you'll have classic subscription-based service and a free-to-play client as well with RMT and all that sort of stuff. Don't know.
I don't either. I know that I don't know. That's all I know.
And I will say it is what it is.
Right. We have no control over it.
We have no control over it. I guess ultimately, if you don't like it and you are that opposed to it,
you can go play a different game.
Exactly. The way to send a message to a company is with your dollars. Don't spend it on it.
Yeah, it's a long turnaround, though.
It is. But eventually, if there's enough movement.
It's a slow death.
It is. There was, I guess, one other thing that maybe came out of Fanfare that we could talk a little bit about. That I was kind of surprised by.
Okay.
And that was... It comes up every Fanfare. Happens every year. We hear the same question. Somebody steps up to the mic and says, "Can we please sit in chairs?" This year was no different.
I heard about this.
If you're interested, Ellie, Friday at 6:04 p.m. Pacific is when it happened. I actually wrote down the time. It was... That interesting.
August 6th, was that?
Yeah, it might have been August 6th. It was that Friday. I just wrote the time down. It was Friday.
That was August 6th.
Okay. Now, the question didn't shock me. We've heard it on the forums since day one. We hear it at every Fanfare. But the response did. The response surprised me. For years, they've been telling us how hard it is to do this, that the models don't support it, there's too many types of furniture. Not going to happen. But this year, that wasn't the response they gave. They said, "We've been working on it." And with that, my mouth and my Speedo hit the floor. On test, apparently, there is a barbarian who sits.
What was the audience reaction?
I don't know. I was too busy trying to pull up my Speedo.
And your jaw.
And pick up my jar off the floor. Yes. I. You know what's funny? That's a great question, Ellie. I don't know what the audience's reaction was. It wasn't a, you know, or,
no?
or a, like, thunderous applaud. It was almost just, like, maybe it was that vibe of, okay. It was completely mellow. Maybe everybody was stoked up or something. I don't know. I seem to be the only one who was, like, surprised by it. Maybe others in the room were surprised by it as well, but I was literally taken aback by it. I did a double take. Wait a minute, did he just say they've been working on it? After how many years of being told, no, we're never going to see this?
Well, maybe that's a bone. The bone that you were talking about. Throw them a bone.
Perhaps. I was just shocked that after all we've been told, and now that's kind of, you know, you talked earlier about them quoting past people, past management members of SOE, this is what they said on such and such a day.
Right.
I don't have all the dates that they said, no, you can't sit in chairs, and why they explained it. But now all of a sudden, it's on the radar. It's being worked on. Now, to be honest, I believe the fellow's name was Dave Brown and Tom Toby or Tim, I apologize if I get the artist's name wrong, who was hosting the art panel where this came up in. They said it's not real true sitting. To me, it kind of sounds like, and I apologize, I'm not a graphics guy, that you're going to stand in the chair and then they're going to bend your knees and stick your butt out. So you're going to kind of get into a seated pose. And then you're going to have to slide yourself around and wiggle onto the chair. I don't know how that works for all chairs because there's many different heights and sizes and shapes and styles. I didn't get it all. But to me, I'll give the same answer that I've always said about sitting in chairs. I'll do it once and say, wow, that's cool. Now I'm going to go kill the dragon. You know, EverQuest 2, to me, and Allie, back me up if you think if you're any different. To me, EQ2 is what Scott Hartzman said one day. It's about killing mobs and taking their stuff. It's not about sitting in a chair. I don't feel heroic sitting in a chair. I want to go out, do the encounters, do the instances, kill the mob and take their stuff.
Okay. I don't really care.
That they're doing it?
I guess it doesn't bother me one way or the other.
I'm indifferent to it. I'm not excited by it. I guess I was more shocked that they said they're doing it. And that
it is kind of surprising.
That they have a test of it already on test. you want to see the test sitting barbarian.
I don't know. Whatever. I don't really care about sitting in chairs. I don't really see what the big deal is.
I don't
Who
either.
Who cares? Do you sit in your house? I don't know. I guess some people play the game that way. I don't.
Perhaps. Again, it just shocked me that after so many years,
yeah,
this is now reality. And maybe, you say, it's the bone.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it's the bone. Maybe after so many years, we will get some of the things we want done.
Yes. When is it my turn? When is the Dell list going to get fulfilled?
Does Dell have a list?
Oh, Dell's got a list. Dell's got a lot of problems.
Things you wish were different? Dell's wish list?
Yes, yes.
Give me one thing on Dell's wish list.
One thing, click the cure. Another
one thing that seems remote.
Okay, that robe that drops in the Farat that has like a 0.0001 drop rate.
Yeah.
The dwarven work boots upgrade from
What do you mean the drop in Farat? You mean I want to get it?
Yes, I want to get the quest starter.
That's not a wish list item.
No?
No, that's just I want this to happen to me in game.
Yeah, well, right.
The possibility of you getting that exists in the game right now. Okay. You just didn't receive it yet.
Okay. I want storylines that are completed, not the never-ending story of repeatable quests.
Yeah, but that's new. Give me something from a long time ago that seems remote that you want changed with the game, like sitting in chairs. What would be your sitting in chairs?
That the broker should actually give you the exact price of the item and not some arbitrary other number.
Okay, that's a good one.
And that he should honor things that are no value. When you put vampire incisors on the broker, it gives you the actual dev price, not the no value tag that it comes with.
Okay.
I want to see an end to lag in 2010.
Okay, that's more than one thing.
Okay, oh, sorry. I've been shut off. Allie has shut me off.
I want things that are too big. They're not as simple as sitting in chairs.
What's one thing you want, Allie?
I want to equal assassin DPS.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I want them to fix rangers.
They said they're fixing rangers.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Okay.
We'll wait and see what happens. But I'm not betraying. I'm going to hold on to this thing until they close the doors on EQ.
Did you know rangers were so popular at Fanfare, they made the top 10 list?
Of what?
Top 10 ways to die in EverQuest. Number one, be a ranger.
So you're telling me that rangers are, they've done statistical analysis and shown that rangers die more than any other class?
No, that's not true.
I know that the number one deaths on unrest is, well, I don't know who it is, but I used to know who it was, and it was not a ranger.
He was just a dumb player. He was a noob.
No, he was not. Okay. So does that wrap up Fanfare, EQ2X, and all of that great stuff we wanted to talk about this show?
I think it does for this show. I don't think the topic will ever be completely wrapped up, signed, sealed, and delivered.
I hope not.
But I think for this show.
Is going to be the day we stop talking about EQ2.
That'll be the day that I die. Okay. Now for episode 5, we are bringing back the Allie Angle segment. Very exciting.
It is exciting because it's all about me and my opinion.
Now I see where I rank. We're going to need a Dell Angle.
We have one.
The Dangle. All right. So
Dangle?
The Dangle. Okay. That's one for the editing books. All right. The Allie Angle, though. Allie, for episodes 5, Allie Angle. So here's your question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Allie, now that the next expansion, Destiny of Elias, has been announced, what do you think are the key things that need to be improved on for launch day over the Sentinel's Fate launch.
Okay, well, I went sort of big picture on this. My number three, itemization.
Ooh, okay.
I would like to see some exciting gear. Not a lot, just a few wow factor items. Must-haves. This expansion, the Sentinel's Fate, seemed to have a lot of vanilla with no sprinkles, no excitement. You know those... have you been to Dairy Queen? You know those soft serve ice cream cones they dip in chocolate?
Dairy Queen.
The best part of a chocolate dipped ice cream, soft serve ice cream, is when you first get it, the very tip of it is still melty and you can take a bite of it when you first get it. And it's so good. It's like the best part of the whole ice cream cone. That's what I'm talking about.
Melty chocolate biting into.
We need those yummy moments in gear. Not just a 1% improvement on crit bonus to your previous piece. Something exciting. Something different. Just a couple of things.
Okay. Okay.
Not asking for the world, just a few really, really killer awesome gear pieces.
So you want to be excited to upgrade?
Yes. I want to have a challenge to go after. I want the stuff. I want the stuff that comes with killing things and taking their stuff. And maybe it's not every time it drops that. Maybe it's once every, I don't know, whatever, percent, 1% chance. Well, maybe that's too small. But a really great item. Give me some good stuff.
I think you're right. One thing we might have missed when Sentinel's Fate launched, I think we always saw this in previous expansions, was being in channel while you're playing and somebody linking some new loot and you clicking on it and saying, wow, that looks kick-ass. I'm looking forward to getting that. Don't know if I had that during Sentinel's Fate launch.
Yeah. We need more melty parts. Melty chocolate over ice cream.
Alrighty.
So that's number three. Number two... stop easy moding everything. And this actually has two parts. I'm not talking about dungeons. I actually like the Sentinel's Fate instances, the quantity of them, the variety, and the difficulty level where you can sort of ease into them if you're not a regular instance grouper or raider, whatever. You can sort of start with a certain tier and move your way up. I kind of like those. I'm talking about... I have two parts. I have part A, heroic content. Where have all the triple up mobs gone in overland zones? Stop easy moding the overland zones where the heroic content has been completely removed. Just because it's previous tier doesn't have to be full on easy moded. Can't there be a half and half? So you can move through a zone along a path, say, and you can avoid those heroics if you're soloing or questing. But if you want heroic content, you can go somewhere to find it other than a dungeon. So that's part A. Part B, contested content. We're in an MMO. Why are we in our own little instances all the time? Can we have some more contested dungeons? There's one coming out. That's good.
Yep.
Maybe more than one. Maybe there's more in part two of Velios. I don't know. But I would like to see more contested content. Maybe random times four dragons spawning. Maybe random heroic mobs spawning that drop stuff for non-raiders, maybe things that people aren't going to camp. I know there's a balance between offering contested content and not offering something that's so great that it's going to be camped 24/7 to give people the opportunity. Well, maybe they can drop some good stuff and, you know, maybe there's a happy medium somewhere metaphorically between the single arrow green and the times four epic underconned.
I like that idea. I have to say I really do. I think it would be cool, like you say, is maybe a heroic. So obviously it's not soloable, you know, maybe by your average player. That can appear in a random spot within the zone. Truly random. and he has really cool loot on it. So the first group who kind of wanders into him can't get him. Not, he always spawns in this corner every 6 days. So there's a crowd standing waiting for him. I like that. And they have some form of random path through the zone, perhaps. So you have a chance to bump into him accidentally.
Something, basically, I'm looking for... I don't like the easy moding of everything.
Okay.
I want more heroic, less down arrow.
Fair enough. There was a lot of that, yeah.
Number one, listen to the players. There are people who play the game every day and know the game inside and out. Maybe me and you don't, but there are people who do.
Absolutely.
They should be listened to. Not everything they're asking for is sitting in chairs and beast lords. Not everything they're asking for is for selfish reasons. People want the game to work correctly, and they can see when something isn't working correctly. Some things don't necessarily play out the way you think they will play out. Listen to what the players have to say. Sometimes we have useful information. Your customers use your product a lot. Make good use of that user base and listen to what they see and experience. I have a little note to myself to mention something. This is maybe a little snarky, but why is it that for months since the last expansion, people have been talking about how 100% is not 100%? There was a quote from a blog, I guess I should recognize EQ2Wire's live blog, of the EQ2 Q&A panel number one, quote. Now, I don't know if this is a direct word-for-word quote, but this is what was on EQ2Wire. Question. Crit scales against mobs, but there seems to be bugs because 100% isn't 100%. Answer. Probably a bug. Looking into it. When was the last expansion? We're talking May. It's August. Why has this not been addressed before now? There are pages and pages on the on the forums of people talking about how 100% is not 100%. It's been debated, it's been answered, and shot down, essentially, as being false information. There's something else going on. The voice chat being buggy or non-functional, or, you know, people having problems with that. Again, something that was brought up at Fanfare that has been happening basically since sometime after Hellas. We do see problems, and we can be useful to fix things if you listen. I don't like being the witch here. I guess if the broom fits, I should wear it.
No, I think you make an excellent point there that sometimes they put up the red wall, red dev name wall, and say, we're right. And maybe the players really have some legitimate concerns. And sometimes we don't necessarily... It takes a lot for us to get listened to. And I think they should be more, like you suggest, more proactive in listening to concerns. Because sometimes players are correct about some of the issues.
I think when one person complains about something, it can be chalked up to one person complaining about something. That's not a huge problem. When you have pages and pages and pages and pages of people saying the same thing, this is my experience, here's what's happening, and it's really not what's supposed to be happening, it should maybe be paid attention to.
Yep. You make a great point there. So the three keys for a positive experience during the DOV launch would be itemization.
Yep.
Stop the easy mode.
Yep.
And listen to us players.
Yes.
I think those are great, great ideas. And I think they would make for a more successful expansion number 7 launch. Is it 7? I think 7 is next.
Wow.
That's
a lot of expansions.
That it is. So did we have anything else for this week's episode of EQ2 Talk?
I think that about wraps it up. We've been yammering on for a while now.
That we have. So we should say thank you to everybody who listened in and downloaded our podcast. We want to give a big thank you to this week's corporate sponsor, JetBlue, recipient of the 2010 J.D. Power & Associates Award for Top Low-Cost Airlines for Customer Satisfaction. Sixth year in a row they've won that award. JetBlue, happy jetting.
Unless you are the guy who jumped out the emergency slide.
Even down the emergency slide, happy jetting. I guess he had a little bit more leg room. If you have any suggestions, comments, feedback, want to talk about some of the things that we've been talking here about on EQ2 Talk, you can send us email. So for me, that would be Delmon, D-E-L-L-M-O-N, at EQ2Talk.com.
Or Alicious, A-L-I-S-C-I-O-U-S, at EQ2Talk.com.
And should we let folks know about our new feature? I guess it's not all that exciting.
Yes, you should. It's pretty exciting.
It is. Because Allie's name is so hard to spell, we have been able to shorten it for folks. So now you can reach her at just Allie at EQ2Talk.com.
But if you want to reach me in game, you still have to spell my whole name.
That's correct. So we thought we'd try to make it a little easy because, yes, it's very hard to drunk tell Allie. Or drunk email her. Because her name is very hard to spell.
That might be a good thing.
Your example, though, I thought on how to spell your name was really cute. It's delicious, but without the del.
Without the deli.
And as we said, you can catch us both in-game as well. So that would be eq2.unrest.ourcharacternames. So I think that's about everything. This has been a long episode.
It's been really long.
But it's been really fun.
It has.
Hope everybody enjoyed it. We'll see you all next time. And say goodnight, Allie.
Goodnight, Allie.